How did you get started as an English language teacher? Walk us through it, Tara.
I was in university. One of my cousins asked me if I wanted to go to Spain for a summer. And the reason being was to be an au pair for a family she knew over there. So I was an au pair for them in Spain, and it was like a great summer. And of course, I was like kind of teaching the kids English, like I was using English with them. So that was probably my first encounter with teaching English. And I enjoyed it, and it was a good experience. And then for the rest of university, I wasn't really sure like what I was gonna do, but my biggest interest is other cultures, and I do really like languages too. So I did some volunteering. I did teaching English to like recent immigrants to the US, and I really enjoyed it. So then during my last semester of school, I just decided to get my TEFL certificate, and I applied to teach as like a bilingual teaching assistant in Spain and did that for a few years. And then kind of did a lot of private lessons too. Eventually transitioned to teaching online.
It's a really wonderful journey. Thank you so much for sharing. Do you have any preference in teaching adults or children in your classes?
I do. So nowadays I teach pretty much only adult. I now have my own online teaching business and I teach lawyers. So there, in the past, I definitely probably taught more kids and I enjoyed it and I really like kids. But kids, especially young kids, as everyone knows, require a lot of energy. And I had worked on some of those teaching platforms that teach kids in China and things like that. And it was a great experience. But I think I kind of burned out from kids, adults, and I'm enjoying it. And you get to have great conversations with people and kind of form friendships with them. So yeah, nowadays I would say adults.
It's really great. Yeah, adults are very much more conducive with their conversation, and you're just actually just having great conversation with them. But kids can require, like you said, a lot of energy, and you could burn out a little bit more due to how much interaction and engagement be with your student. So that's great that you found that wiggle room with adults. Is it necessary to have a side hustle or an additional source of income while teaching?
Definitely depends. It depends on like how many students you're getting or if your job is like a full-time or part-time job. My first job was kind of more of a part-time job. So I did like support myself when I wasn't teaching in the classroom through private one-on-one lessons. When I was in Spain, I was doing that. And then like when I was teaching online, I was getting enough hours. I didn't have to really do anything else. I did decide to do some face-to-face classes too, just to get some of that variety. And then now, like, I'm having my own business with teaching the lawyers communication skills. And when you're starting a business, you usually things just don't happen overnight. So I definitely kept working on the teaching platforms for a while. Sometimes still do if there's like a particular student who reaches out to me and we had been friends and I want to help them. I was like working on the side on teaching lab while I built my business up. So I think it just depends on your situation.
It's really fascinating. You're able to allocate a lot of time with your business. Can you tell us more about that? It sounds really interesting, working with lawyers.
It is. And it's kind of funny, like how it's different how I got into working with lawyers because I don't have a legal background. The only thing I've ever done, teach English to a variety of different people, ages, professions. So I think you know about it, Samantha. I found a program called the 21 Day Teacher Entrepreneur Challenge, and it was created by a guy named James Liu. And it's really great. And so this actually helped me set up my own teaching business as a niche teacher, right? So as a niche teacher, you want to specialize in a certain group of people. And not only just business people, that's actually a bit too broad these days, but you want to niche down even more than that. So we were encouraged to choose kind of a profession or an industry. And I did choose the legal profession only because, like, I couldn't decide who I wanted to choose. And I was thinking, what recent students have I taught? What professions, like what jobs do they do? And which ones did I really enjoy? And I realized I enjoyed working with the lawyers teachers because they were like really motivated, like very smart. I felt like I like absorbed their knowledge and I was like, well, let me just go for lawyers, you know? And then I was a bit intimidated at first because I was like, how can I help lawyers? You know, what do I have to offer to them? But then as I got talking with them and got to know them more, I realized like they don't care that I don't have knowledge in their field. They just care that I can help them improve their confidence and their fluency in English for work. So I am really enjoying it.
Wow, yeah, that's so awesome. I do see you glowing and about this new venture. And, you know, they don't really care, but you don't have much knowledge in that background, but they do like that you're ever curious and that you are interested in them and improving their language ability. So that, what was your motivation in teaching your English language students?
Probably a similar motivation to a lot of teachers, I would imagine. There's no better feeling. There's no feeling more rewarding than helping your students reach their goals and seeing them progress and, you know, them coming back and telling you things like, oh, I did great in the interview, you know, even though the interviewer spoke so fast. Like one of my students the other day messaged me and he was like, my interviewer sounded like a cabin crew announcer. Like she spoke so quickly, but I was able to keep up with her and like answer her questions calmly. And so I think just like hearing things like that is very motivating. So just helping them reach their goals and also just like instilling more self-confidence in them is probably the best part and the biggest motivator for this job.
Most definitely. Seeing the progression of your students from being frightened of speaking English to then just picking up really native speaker conversation is definitely a boost in your self-esteem as a teacher. Do you have a favorite lesson that you like to teach in your English language classes?
Yeah, I think so. Like if I think about my program that I created for the lawyers, our first lesson is about cultural intelligence, so cultural understanding. So it's kind of a good way to kick things off. And it's always a really fascinating discussion with them. You know, how can we, the importance of being open-minded, asking people questions, learning as much as you can about different backgrounds and having like a global mindset. And it's a very like discussion-based lesson and it's quite enjoyable for both sides. We do get into idioms not too long after that. And that one is also a lot of fun because I feel like idioms is always something that people want to improve in. They have that fun, they're like graphic, they form like a picture in their mind and it's really fun. And then I see the students like using the idioms later in next sessions or when they write me. And I also feel like that's a good one. So maybe those two.
Wow. Yeah. I love those two lessons, especially the idiom. And also with the lawyers, they're working with so many people. And so you're actually really graining their understanding with different cultures and their professions. And that's wonderful. You're really enjoying creating those type of fun lessons. In your English language classes, do you have any warm-ups or introductions that you employ?
Yeah, definitely. I think like warm-ups are generally important. For the first session, I do have like a big warm up, which is I ask them, can you tell me what a typical day in your life looks like from start to finish in as much detail as you can, you know, just to get them talking on the one hand. And then on the other hand, just to learn more about them and what they do and what they like. Then I can also type some errors they made in the chat and then have them correct them. So that one always goes well. And then for like other sessions that we have, most of the warm-ups are kind of like open discussion questions related to whatever topic that we're going through during that session. So if the topic is like how to be more concise, like this is something lawyers struggle with, especially lawyers who come from places like Italy and Spain, because their sentences are usually much than ours in English. So I might just ask them like, why is it important to be concise? Like rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10. And we just kind of have a discussion about that before we get into more of the practice, a lot of discussion questions.
Discussion questions are definitely good to bring great fluid conversation. And then just asking great questions to see in the perspective in their shoes of their life and their background definitely helps to also hear them how they speak naturally to you in English. And so you get to find those errors and those, make those corrections. Awesome. Do you have any teaching philosophies that you like to follow in your classrooms?
One philosophy that I've kind of learned is that sometimes less is more. I think that as teachers, we tend to like, sometimes we feel scared that, you know, we're going to run out of time or the activities we prepared are not going to be like appropriate for the student. So we prepare so much, but, and I think there's a good side to doing that too. But on the other hand, if we try to give them all these materials and all this information, how much are they going to retain? So it might be better just to like go with one topic and just get deep into that topic. So I think like less is more, have fun and create like a fun learning environment, and your students gonna enjoy it and get more out of it if it's fun and you guys laugh and have great discussions. Even if you go off on tangents sometimes, it's fine.
Well, definitely. I really love that, having fun and engaging with your class, and also just not trying to overstuff, not trying to teach everything in one day. You know, you do have other days. And so just gradually a process, that's how English is anyway, just a process. And so we can do that too in supplying our lessons. What type of cultural norms did you learn while teaching your students? Cultural differences that you encounter that was intriguing to you?
I've learned about a lot of their holidays and festivals, you know, that's, those are other fun class topics. Also their local foods, and had some great and funny conversations about, you know, their foods. In the past, I even worked on a platform called Cambly, and on Cambly, there are a lot of students from like the Middle East. So I got to like learn a lot about Middle Eastern culture, talk to me about Islam and things like that. So I got to learn more about their religion. Some of the women, like they wouldn't show their face on the camera because, you know, in their culture, they tend not to want to. And a lot of really enriching discussions on their cultures, holidays, food, religion, everything. So I think this is one of the best parts of teaching. And if you love other cultures, you really get to widen your perspective and learn so much. And it's almost like traveling.
That's so great that you actually got a sense of learning about different cultures through a few of the platform. And it's exactly like traveling. You're learning about all these fun holidays and how they interact in their world, which could be a bit vaguely different to you, but that's their way of life. And so that's great that you got to immerse yourself in their eyes and what they do every day. What's one thing that you wish you have learned when you began your English language profession?
I think one thing that is important for like teachers to learn is that just because we are teachers does not mean that we need to have all the answers. You know, I think it's okay to tell your student, like, you know, I actually don't know the answer. Why don't we find that out together? Or why don't you find that out and bring it back and let me know? You know, we're kind of guides to our students. We don't need to be encyclopedias or grammar books. You know, that's why we have those tools to help us. I think I wish I would have known, like, it's okay not to have all the answers. And that would have helped me not be like fearful in moments when I felt like I didn't know.
Yeah, actually just employing and showing your human part of you and knowing that you do not know everything. Your students can definitely relate and they'll respect you more because you are just being authentic. And if you don't know everything, and that's fine, that's why we do have those resources. We're like a messenger, more or less, and a guide, like you said. Have you faced any challenges while teaching, and what have you learned from any of them?
Especially when first starting out on my teaching journey, I had a lot of imposter syndrome just because I hadn't ever been a teacher before. And I was like in the classroom setting. I feel like I was a teacher, but I didn't really feel like one. So I had a lot of that. I also realized that like with teaching comes a lot of improvisation. And that could sometimes be a challenge too, right? Like you want to have everything prepared, but things don't always go as planned. So how did I deal with them? I think I just like accepted the imposter syndrome and just told myself, like, I think everybody, when they start out on their career, may feel like this to one degree or another. So let me just keep going and I'm sure I'll improve. And of course, that was the case with improvising. It's just a matter of practicing, right? And then you get better. Same thing with the improvising.
Definitely. Of course, you're going to feel at first when you're venturing something for the first time, you're going to feel a bit more frightful and uncomfortable, but eventually you're ease right in there and groove. And we're all actually teachers. If you want to think about it, you can learn from just a baby, and that's a teacher, from just someone that is a well expert in their field. So that's wonderful that you're humbled about that. What is one common myth about being a teacher, English language teacher, that you would like to highlight for the audience?
I think that there's this perception that anyone can be an English teacher. Anyone who speaks English can be an English teacher, right? That could be true, but I believe it takes a certain kind of person to be a teacher. I think you do have to have patience, and I think you do have to have empathy. I don't think that just anyone who speaks English can be an English teacher, though that is something that I've heard before. I don't know if you've heard that.
And I have said that, yes.
Yeah, and I believed that before becoming a teacher as well.
Yes, so it does take a certain type of characteristics, a type of personality, and you also have the type of skill sets to be a teacher like any other profession. Without those, you will not be that category. Teaching is not a 1, 2, 3 thing. It takes a process like everything else. And so to withstand the challenges, you have to employ these certain abilities, like being patient, like you said, and also being a great teacher, great instructor definitely helps with that, solidifies that. Do you have any goals that you're working towards in 2022? And would you like to share them?
Definitely to grow my business. And I always try to listen as much as possible to my audience and to the lawyers I speak with, what struggles they're going through, just so that I can better address them and help them. I would say just continue to do that. I love making videos to post on LinkedIn to help them. So probably to make more videos now, helping with the challenge, and also want to help grow that business as well that I'm working for. So I would say those are my general goals.
Those are some neat and awesome challenges, Tara. I can't wait to see your business bubbling up and just you ever supplying great knowledge and value to your students. I commonly thought that one can teach English remotely online from anywhere in the world, thus allowing for a nomadic lifestyle. Has this been your experience?
It has been my experience, and this is a great perk of being a teacher, and specifically an online teacher. Right now, I'm more or less splitting my time between the US and Jordan. I'm in Jordan now. So of course the time zone is a little different, but I'm really glad that I can teach over here when I'm visiting my fiance here. And also we traveled end of September and the whole month of October, we traveled a week to Turkey and a month to Georgia, the country. So, and I was teaching from my laptop when we traveled on some of the days. So it's definitely possible. You just need like a good Wi-Fi connection, right? This is something you want to do. You know, your interest in teaching, this can be a really good way to go. And I know, like, of course, I'm not the only one. So many people doing a similar thing. So it's fun. And I'm really grateful to be able to live like this.
Yeah, that sounds amazing that you're actually just traveling from different countries, teaching and also teaching online and really just immersed into different cultures, and your students really love that. Where do most of your students reside in when you are teaching? What type of time zones, and does that have any problems, challenges for you?
So most of my students right now for my business, the lawyers, they are from Europe and specifically from Italy and Spain, most of them. So most of them are in Europe, and that's only about 1 hour behind where I am now in Jordan. Most of them like their sessions in the evening. So that's kind of like the evening night for me. I've just adapted my schedule. When I'm in the States, that tends to be like the early afternoon for me. That works quite well. And now here I've got like more of the morning and daytime to do things or to prepare my classes or to relax or something. And then I'm more working in the later hours of the day. So it's just different, more than willing to do, adapt my schedule.
Yeah, that's really great. You're able to adjust and adapt and also just accommodate your students in various time zones and teach them wherever you can. Have you ever taught privately or has it only been through offline or online teaching?
When I was in Spain for like the first few years that I lived there, I did teach privately as well. Like I made announcements and they have kind of like a Craigslist, but in-person classes too. And so I did meet with a variety of people and usually go to their homes or sometimes cafes, and we would have private classes. And that was when I was working in schools part-time and sometimes teaching online too. So yeah, I met with people who were looking to improve their English for work or because they loved English. And then some kids whose parents, you know, were wanting them to have regular English classes. So yeah, I definitely enjoyed that time being with private students and meeting different people.
Wow, yeah, that sounds like a really fun and adventurous interaction and way to get your private students sitting in cafes and visiting people's houses. That sounds really fun. Where can people find you on the internet to take classes for your business, just connect with you more on your English language ventures?
The best way is on LinkedIn. So if you just search my name, Tara, T-A-R-A, Oot, O-O-T, then you can find me on LinkedIn. And if you want to get in touch with me, you can message me there or connect with me there.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Tara, for just joining us. We really enjoy your free spirit. We'd love to hear your wonderful stories and your experiences. This was a very fruitful conversation with you, Tara. I really appreciate you.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a lot of fun. Thanks, yeah. Samantha.
That was an end to another show. Please visit the website at www.teachingonlineenglish.com for the show notes. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast to get notifications of the next show. Talk with you soon.